But before we fellowship around the Lord's table this morning, I'd like for us to consider from the Word of God together. So we're going to return to the New Testament letter of Jude. And if you recall, Jude has already been preparing us for the challenges that we will face as believers and as a church. And of course, the great mission that he gives us in this letter of Jude, we find in verse 3, which tells us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That is our mission as believers, really part of our mission. We have a great commission where we go out and share the gospel, but as believers, as a church, we also, as the pillar and ground of the truth, we are to contend for that faith and to make sure that it remains pure in our hearts and in our hands, in our teaching. So, in the very first verse, Jude introduces himself very simply. Again, verse 1, he says, he is the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. And by thus identifying himself as the brother of James, he is likely identifying himself as the half-brother of the Lord Jesus as well. You see, Jude believed that the greatest privilege he had as a Christian was simply to be known as the servant of Jesus Christ. And that's something that we as believers in Christ need to remember about ourselves. We are simply his servants. There's no greater honor, no greater privilege, no greater title that we could ever be given than servants of Jesus Christ. And if we are to fulfill our mission of earnestly contending for the faith, we must never forget that we are his servants. He is our master. What he tells us to do, we are to do. What he tells us to teach, we are to teach. We're not to invent new things or try new ideas apart from what he gives us. So we must remember that we are the servants of Jesus Christ as Jude was. But then also, in verse 1, Jude next introduces who he is writing to. And of course, this would include not only the people that he was specifically writing to back then in the early church, but even to us today. He identifies all of us as believers as to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Those are three glorious truths that if you need strength to withstand something in your life, whether it's a temptation that comes your way or a false teaching that comes your way or just even some doubt that might creep up into your mind, these are truths that will give you strength to fulfill your mission of earnestly contending for the faith. What are they again? You are sanctified by God the Father. He has called you, he has sanctified you, and he has preserved you and will keep you if you have Jesus as your Savior. That's some things that you can bank on, you can trust in. In fact, no one can permanently harm you if you belong to Christ. Paul tells us pretty much the same thing in Romans chapter 8. You don't need to turn there, but listen to these words. Romans 8:29, again, referring to some of these things that God has done for us as believers. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, there's nothing that's going to stand in the way of this. Why? So that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Jude identifies us as being called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And we could add that to the very first verse of Jude. If you have been called by God, if you've been sanctified by God, if you've been preserved by God, what shall we say to these things? If God be for you, who can be against you? No one can be against you. Nothing can be opposed to you. That is our ground in our faith. We don't have to fear what man shall do to us. And if we are to fulfill our mission of earnestly contending for the faith, we must remember that we are his servants and he is our strength. All of our strength can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then this morning, we come to verse 2 of this letter of Jude, which, even though it's very short, and even though you might read it and think, boy, I've read this before. Well, you probably have, because this is a very common way in which the letters of the New Testament are introduced. If you go to the very first few verses of every letter, every epistle in the New Testament, you're going to probably find something like this. It's a little bit of a prayer. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Sometimes you'll find grace in these other passages as well. But even though it is a very common way to start a letter in the New Testament, these words are also inspired by God. And they're not just there as an appendage to just kind of do what everybody else does in their letters. No, it is actually important for us as well in our mission to earnestly contend for the faith that God has given us. You see, what we read in verse 2 is really a prayer to the Lord for the readers. It's a prayer by Jude to God for everyone who will read this letter, including us. He's praying for you. And he's praying for me today. He prays, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied in our lives as believers. So we're going to look at this prayer more closely together this morning and imagine all the things that God provides to us through those three truths, mercy and peace and his love. The first thing we learn about this is that verse 2 is a prayer that we all need. It's a prayer that we all need. This is a prayer and a desire for us as believers to possess all these good things of God. Again, mercy and peace and love. One writer I read said, can you add anything else to those three things that we would need as believers other than the mercy and peace and the love of God? He said pretty much any other blessing that you can imagine can be summed up in those three words. And what this shows to us is that Jude himself had a personal concern for the people he was writing to, including you and me this morning. We find a prayer that we need that displays a personal concern by this man, Jude, for us. Now, verse 2 is much more than just a wish. Have you ever said to someone, I hope you have a good day? You probably said that. You might finish that up in a text or an email or even on the phone. Now, that's a nice thing for you to want for someone. That is a really nice thing for you to say to someone. But what happens if they don't have a good day? Are you to blame? Well, maybe. For sometimes it might be you that caused them to have a bad day. But more than likely, it really wasn't your fault, because we really don't have the ability to make someone have or not have a good day. But Jude is not just saying something that is a good wish that he has for us. Kind of a good luck. I hope you have a good day. Because he himself knows that he is powerless to give us those things. He is powerless to give us God's mercy and God's peace and God's love. No, this isn't just a wish. This is a personal prayer to God for us. Because only God can give us the things that are mentioned in this verse. Do you need mercy in your life? Only God can give it. Do you need real peace in your life? Only God can provide it. Do you need love and to experience and enjoy the fellowship of God's love? You can't get that from anywhere else but from the Lord. And Jude knew that only God could provide what we need in order to face the challenges to our faith and to our church. You see, Jude is writing this letter knowing that he offers certainly advice as to how to deal with these false teachers, but ultimately the mercy and the peace and the love that we need to combat these false teachers can't come from Jude. That's why he starts it off with a prayer. It can only come from the Lord. To pray that the Lord would give them the help and strength they need for that day and every single day after. So this prayer shows from Jude a personal concern. Do you have this kind of concern for your brothers and sisters in Christ? A personal concern that leads you to a passionate prayer for them and for what they really need? Do you have that kind of interest in somebody? Do you have that interest in your church and in your fellow brothers? It is a nice thing to wish someone a good day. It is a better thing to pray that the Lord would give them the help and the strength that they need for that day and every day. That's the best thing that we need to do. But this prayer also shows not just a personal concern by Jude to the readers, but it also shows a spiritual concern. A spiritual concern. The three things that Jude prays for are not what we often think of when we pray for someone. We mentioned this in Sunday school just a few moments ago. Too often, our greatest concerns are physical, aren't they? Or external. I have a prayer list in my Bible, and I keep it with me to remind myself of the things that we pray for. And of course, there's some on the back table. If you weren't here Wednesday, you can pick one up. It also has our Enlarge Our Hearts, where we can pray for certain people groups that need the Lord. And if you look at your list, there's a lot of physical needs. There's people that have illnesses. There are people that have financial struggles. There are people that are graduating and need a job. There are people that are struggling with their schooling. And we need to pray for those things, and we do. But through Jude's example, we need to pray for other things as well. In fact, our greatest concern should not just be the physical and external issues that someone has. Our greatest concern, based on the example of Jude, should be internal and spiritual. For a person to experience a greater measure of God's own mercy and peace and love. Is that the same kind of concern that you have in your life for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Oh, we need to pray for the health. And we have earnestly prayed for Brother Billy as he was struggling through cancer, and other people that have been sick, and other people that have other needs and other issues. But one of our greatest needs ought to be the spiritual needs. And not just for people's salvation. Oh, we ought to pray for them. But what about for each other to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? What about to pray for each other for God's mercy and God's peace and God's love to be multiplied and grown in your life as a Christian? We need to have that same kind of concern for one another, a spiritual concern that leads us to passionate prayer for them and for what they really need. That's the kind of prayer we all need to help us with the struggles that we will face as Christians and as a church. In Ephesians 6:18, as Paul is dealing with the armor of God, he also reminds us that we are to keep praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's the kind of prayer we need. And so when we come to this verse 2, don't just overlook it. Or in other places, in other epistles, don't just overlook those phrases, because those needs are very important. And that is why they bring it up so frequently in prayer to God. He is the source of these things, the gifts that He gives us, His mercy, His peace, and His love. So the next thing that we see in these verses are the gifts that we do need. Those three things can only perfectly be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need mercy in your life? Do you need peace in your life? Do you need real love in your life? You will not find it perfectly. You will not find it completely or fully except in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He provides. The first thing that we are given there that we need is mercy from the Lord. Mercy from the Lord. Matthew Henry describes this mercy as, quote, the spring and fountain of all the good we have or hope for. You see, God is the spring and the fountain of good and goodness to us. And so His mercy is something that we can only get fully from Him. Some of the things that deal with His mercy are the goodness of His pardon. This is what we often think when we think of God's mercy. The goodness of His pardon for sin. And God does pardon us for sin. God does give us mercy when we deserve judgment. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, we read, "But Thou art a God who is ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." All throughout the Bible, we see that God is full of mercy. And He is ready, willing, and able to show His mercy and His pardon to us from all of our sin. And that is part of what this mercy is. We ought to pray for God's mercy to be multiplied in the lives of people that are sinners. We are all sinners. And we all need that pardon. We all need that continuing mercy. But you know, this mercy of God also includes the goodness of His provision. What He provides to us. Think of all the things that you do enjoy, even just as living in America. That's a mercy to us. Think of all the blessings that we've received and all the provision we've received when God shows His kindness to us more and more every day. That is all part of His mercy. God is a God of great mercy. And whenever you feel that you are in need of mercy, God's pardon or even His provision, you can go to Him. Why? Psalm 86:15 says, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." We need mercy. And that is why Jude prays for God to give us mercy. Do you need mercy today? Do you need God's pardon for your sin? Then go to Him, because He can and will provide it. Do you need God's mercy in providing for a need in your life? Then go to Him, because He can and will provide it. We need mercy, and that's why we can go to Him. But a second gift that we need is that of peace. We also need peace from the Lord. Again, Matthew Henry describes this peace as a condition of well-being and inner tranquility that comes to those who have been reconciled to God. Again, when we think of peace, we often think of peace with others, don't we? We think of, well, there's someone in my life that I'm not getting along with, and there needs to be peace there. Or maybe you think of people in your own family or families outside that need some peace in their families because there's struggles, there's fightings. Now that is, again, certainly something we ought to pray for, but peace in this world will always be elusive. And if it is obtained, it will always be temporary. Think of how many peace treaties there have been in the world. I remember reading an article, and it was something like 6,000 different treaties. How many of those treaties have been broken? Nearly all of them. And the ones that are in place today, where there might be a relative peace between two people that were at one time opposing enemies, that treaty too will someday fall down, and there will be war, conflict, opposition once again. Or even when we were experiencing some conflicts with the former Soviet Union, it was known as the Cold War. And even though there weren't open hostilities, yet there was still no peace, right? It's elusive to us in this world. And that is why the greatest peace that we can pray for is not peace with other people, not even peace in this world, but peace with God. And ultimately, peace in your own heart and in your own conscience. The kind of peace that Paul described in Philippians 4:7, when he says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds." How? Through Christ Jesus. God is a God not only of great mercy, but He is a God of great peace. And that peace is something that we need. And that peace is something that Jude prayed for in your life, in my life, and we ought to pray for one another to have that same peace. But that peace can only begin when you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Because we know that peace can end very quickly. "So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And Paul writes in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith," if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you've come to Him by faith, you know what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace, the peace of God, is available and timeless. And if you ever feel you are in need of God's peace, why don't you go to Him? Is there a time in your life, even this last week, where you felt the gnawing of your conscience and there was something in your heart where there was no peace? Go to the One who is the God of peace. He is the One who offers you peace and can give you permanent peace. Not just peace with Him, but peace in your heart and your conscience, and He can even work out some of those things in your life where you need peace with others. If you feel you're in need of God's peace, go to Him. That's what Jude did. He prayed. Do you know someone who needs peace in their life? Can you earnestly, tenderly, sincerely pray, "Mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied"? That leads us to the third gift that we need, and that is love from the Lord. Again, Matthew Henry describes this love as not just a feeling. Again, that's how we think of love. We think of a feeling or a romantic kind of love. But no, this kind of love is a deliberate principle of mind and heart. It's not just the flutter of your heart. It is your mind engaged with your heart, which thoughtfully seeks the welfare of others. It's always wanting what's best for others. Love is not selfish. Love is selfless. It is giving what is best to the person that you love. And the truest love, once again, can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we will all say that we love people in our lives. I love my wife. I love my children. You love people in your family and even others outside of your family. Have you ever tried to compare your love for someone with God's description of love in the famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13? Read that sometime when you're thinking about the person you love. And as you look at all the different things that describe true love, and you think about your love, there might be parts that you could see in your love, or maybe you can see just in some degree, but if you really compared it, you're going to notice that our love falls flat every single time. It's not perfect. It's not entirely pure. Often the motive is a selfish type of love. And that's why we don't focus on just our love. We're focusing on the love of God. God's love is perfect and pure. To do that same exercise and think about God's love. Go through 1 Corinthians 13 and see how His love mirrors that description in every single point, 100% perfectly. You see, God is a God of great love. And one of our great prayers for ourselves and for others should be that we would grow in that love. Just as Paul writes again in Ephesians 3:18, His desire for us was that we might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you ever feel that you are in need of God's love, why don't you go to Him? He is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of peace. And He can provide the things in your heart and the things in your life that you so desperately need. Because mercy and peace and love are God's gifts to His people. And they are yours and are available to you in the fullest measure. And that's why Jude can pray confidently this prayer, knowing full well that God could give it and provide it. But why is it that we often don't feel like we have these gifts in our hearts and in our lives? Why is it that we don't always feel the mercy or the peace or even the love in our heart? Well, it's because there is something else in this prayer of Jude that we need to pray for as well. And one word, we see the experience of those gifts that we need. The experience we need. That word is multiply. Multiplied. You see, Jude understood that the gifts of God's mercy and peace and love were already there for His people. Do we need any more of God's mercy or any more of God's peace or any more of God's love in a positional way? God loves us with an everlasting love. He can't love us anymore. The peace that we have with God is so perfect that He has made us who were His enemies now His friends and even His children. There is nothing that can separate us from God and having that true peace with God. What about His mercy? The condemnation that was upon us because of our sin is gone. We have received His full measure of mercy, and there is no purgatory for a true child of God, a true Christian. No, it's been paid for on the cross. We have all of His mercy. We have all of His peace. We have all of His love. So how can the prayer be for it to be multiplied in our life? How can something be multiplied if you already have it? Well, it's not just in what God provides, it's in our own personal understanding and experience of it. You see, we may have all of God's peace and yet in our hearts not believe that. I'm not sure if this has happened to anybody here, but I've known some people who were known as trust fund children. We always called them the lucky few because their parents or their grandparents were very wealthy. And so as their children went to college, they set up a trust fund. Probably thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars that would help them to get through college and establish their life and even maybe buy a house with those things. And it was basically a nest egg for these children, these grandchildren. It was there for them. Their name was on it. All they had to do was write the check. All they had to do was use the debit card. But what would we think of those people if they never cashed the check or if they never used that card? You think, why are you doing that? You're crazy. It's all there for you. It's got your name on it. Why aren't you using it? So it is with our lives as believers. This mercy and peace and love that God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ is there for us. It's a giant trust fund entrusted to His people and given to us. Our name is on that. And yet so often we don't experience the mercy and the peace and the love that God has already extended to us. It's the experience of it also that we need. So how can it be applied? Well, this prayer is not just for those to be extended to us because they have, but it's also that we need a greater awareness of God's gifts of mercy and peace and love. We need to know it in our minds as well as in our hearts. If you go over just a couple books to the second letter of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter begins his letter also in a very similar way as Jude, but he adds the key to having these gifts multiplied in our own personal experience as believers. Look at verse 1 first of all in 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Here it is. Here's his prayer. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Does that sound familiar to Jude? Yes. Now he explains how. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's through the knowledge of God. The key, one key for God's gifts to be multiplied in the experience of our lives is through a greater knowledge and awareness of those gifts. The more you know about God's mercy, the more it will be applied to your heart. The more you understand about God's peace that He has already provided to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, the more peace you'll experience in your heart. And the more you learn about God's love and how pure and how perfect and how full it is, the more you will truly grasp it and it will be multiplied in your heart. The more you know about these gifts, the more they will affect you and impact you. Never tire of learning about these truths that we find about Jesus. Never get tired of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Never tire of learning about His peace and the mercy that He offers, because the deeper you go and the more you learn, the more it will impact your heart and in your life. You've got to know Him, though. That's why we do the Take 20. That's why we urge you to study the Word of God, because the more you know, the more it will be multiplied in your own personal life and experience. But also these truths need to take not just hold in our minds, but also in our hearts. We also need a greater appreciation for God's gifts. The gifts of mercy and peace and love. There's a lot we can know about God. There are a lot of scholars. There are a lot of commentators. There are a lot of people that know the content of the Word of God. But guess what? It is not enough for it to sink in the head. It's got to go into the heart. I know Andy had mentioned to me, that's what, the longest 12 inches or so from the head to the heart. It's a long way to go, but that's where it's got to get. It's got to be in your heart. You got to appreciate His mercy. You got to appreciate and be thankful for His peace and be so grateful for His love. Think about what it did to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet because of all the things, not only that were done to him, but that were going to be done to his own people. And in the midst of such discouragement and despondency, Jeremiah wrote these famous words in Lamentations 3:21. He said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. You see, what he knew about God didn't just affect his mind, it traveled the distance into his heart. And it changed it just from an intellectual knowledge to an appreciation and a hope. What? This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So many times we forget these truths, and we live our lives in fear and powerlessness. But the more we know of God's mercy and his peace and his love, the more we can live with hope and gratitude and thankfulness. We need a greater appreciation for God's gifts. And if you feel a lack of love or peace or even mercy in your life, you need to realize that he has done this for you. Be thankful to him. Express your gratitude to him in prayer. And as you do so, it will multiply. The love of God will be shed abroad in your hearts. The mercies will seem new every single morning because of his faithfulness. But then we also will need a greater application of God's gifts. This is all dealing with multiplying. A greater application of God's gifts of mercy and peace and love in our lives. You see, for God's gifts to multiply, they must not only affect our mind and our heart, but then they need to live themselves out through our own lives. For example, if you have received God's mercy, you then are to be merciful. Didn't Jesus himself say, "Blessed are the merciful"? If you've received God's peace, then what are you to do? You are to be a peacemaker and share that peace with others. If you've received God's love, then you too are to be loving. And as we respond to God's gifts in these ways, they will continue to multiply in us and through us. One writer says this about these three gifts: nothing less than a great outpouring of these gifts, God's mercy, God's peace, God's love, on his troubled readers would satisfy Jude's heart. And that's why he prayed this prayer. This is the prayer we need to pray for each other. Don't be satisfied with anything less within our own church. And don't be satisfied with anything less than this outpouring and this multiplication of God's mercy and his peace and his love in your heart and in your life as well. You see, the mercy and peace and love of God is like a great reservoir of water. It's all available. It's stored up. It's to be poured out upon his thirsty people. It belongs to us. How often do we go on thirsting, though? How often do we wonder if God really loves us? Or how often do we really wonder if we have been truly receiving God's mercy so that we've been pardoned for our sin? How often do we live our life without peace in our heart? How often do we forget these gifts? How often are we not thankful and grateful for these gifts? How often do we not use these gifts? Let's take Jude as the example today, because we must pray for ourselves and for one another that God's mercy and peace and love will be multiplied in our own experience as believers. And you know what will happen? God himself will open the gates to the spillway, and his mercy and his peace and his love will be shed abroad in our lives. The great prayer of Jude should be our prayers together. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that this prayer would be answered by you even today in the hearts and the lives of the people that are before me. I know there are some here who, Lord, are in great need of your mercy, not just the mercy of pardon, but even the mercy of provision. You even said that you will provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, I pray that you will multiply mercy in their life today, and that it will be multiplied in their mind and in their heart and in their life. Perhaps, Lord, there is someone here who lacks peace, not just peace with someone else, but even inner peace, peace in their heart, peace even with you. I pray, O Lord, that you might multiply your peace in their life today. Help them to see that it's only through the Lord Jesus where they can have real peace. And that peace is the only kind that will be permanent and lasting. Father, if there's someone here who is not truly understanding of your love, or is wondering and doubting perhaps of your love, I pray that today you too will multiply their experience of your love in a way that they never have before. And that all of these things, Lord, we will know it in a greater measure, and that we will be thankful to you because of how you've provided it to us through the Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, to reflect it to others, to reflect your mercy and your peace and your love to all those around us, and in doing so, multiply it through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray the same prayer as Jude today upon our church and upon your people. Mercy and peace and love be multiplied unto us all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.